Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We have Mel Blatt and Chasney Lewis from All Saints Coming Round. It's interesting, we've known them forever. My uncle Cam made the first All Saints album, and it was a pretty big thing in our lives because obviously it was such a monumental success and changed my auntie and uncle's life, changed the girls' life, you know, Nicole, Nat and Chaz and Mel. And it was a genre-defining moment in pop culture and music. And for me, it was when I first got MTV in my bedroom. So I remember those videos so well, I know where is that. And I remember Cam was like, I've got this band, they're the new Spice Girls, but they're cool. And we were like, what?
That's exactly what he said.
They're like Spice Girls, but they're cool. And then they were.
I just want to know a bit more about your Cosmopolitan. What's in this one?
Keeping it classic tea, it's vodka, cranberry juice, lime juice, and ice, which it feels very 90s. It's like just an orange zest at the end to not only burn and put the oils from it into the drink, but then also to garnish. But no, but I just love that simplicity. Don't you remember in the 90s, it was like, I'll have a sea breeze, I'll have a Cosmo. I think there's too much choice out there now, and I'm really enjoying bringing back classic cocktails. I would never really do a Cosmopolitan, but I thought Met Bar, Mel and Shaz, it just made sense. It just sang.
It makes me thirsty when you say Cosmopolitan. Who's that? Is that
hello?
We're coming!
Coming!
Coming! Coming! 1 second!
Welcome, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
So we've got a slow roast lamb. Now, Randell has done most of the cooking. He's my baby. We share a cooking brain, and I've been out cooking today with a charity that I work with, so he's done most of the cooking. We've got a slow roast spiced lamb. It's lush, and underneath it is grilled spring onions and sautéed cabbage with garlic, and then we've got some lovely sort of chili buttered peas and like a pressed potato tureen.
What is this?
It's potato and cream and caramelised onions and stock. Okay. That's what is.
Oh, great.
And then there's some gravy, obviously. So help yourself, please.
Check
just literally
out.
Get stuck
he's
in.
So
get
are you hungry?
Stuck in.
Yeah.
Yes. Starving. That was the text from the cause that we're starving.
So what's that with Mel then, if you met
it was
me at
Cam's house, Cameron McVeigh.
Oh.
And you had all just got together, like with Cam and stuff.
Okay.
And he brought you all in. He was like, oh, these are the girls. And you were like, hi. And you were literally babies.
Oh my God.
And you were so gorgeous, like these glowing, hopeful, beautiful. But me and Nana were like, oh my God.
Save them.
You were amazing girls. Yeah. You really were. You had whatever that extra thing is that people have. You were proper, what me and my friend Kelly call proper birds. Do you know what I mean? No, but you were, because you
a
had
big
all
compliment.
That. But you were, it really is, you know, because you were very young girls, but you had like a ground, you were rooted in something.
By the time we were working with Cameron, we were probably like 21, 22.
Shut up. Yeah. I mean,
but we always looked like babies.
That you looked really little. So if you, how old are you now? Like nearly 50.
Nearly 50.
So I'm 60. So if you took, I was about 30 or something, and everybody looks like, you know that thing when you're very young, you think everyone's like, look at the little babies.
I didn't realise you were in your 20s at that point.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, where did you think I was?
In your 30s.
I look as you think I'm so old.
No, just, like,
so I was like at the end of my, because I'm like 10 years older than you or something, basically.
Yeah, but now I'm being just at the moment, because I'm at the end of my 30s, 39. Right. I'm like, God, 20 is
so young.
Are
you at the end of your 30s? Thank God for that.
Finally.
I've been on board for so long. It's so annoying.
I feel very different about it all the time, into like a new decade.
I think also it's quite interesting for you three particularly, because you are very young and very successful young. You know, that youth is prized in such a kind of all-pervasive way.
Yeah.
And it's such a fleeting thing in your life, being that young. Do you know what I mean? So there's a weird duality about that. When you look at it...
Ratio-wise, if you said, this is the most powerful time of my life, then it's like a fifth.
Right. You know? And it's not the most powerful time in your life, though, is it? There's power to it.
Yeah.
But it's not the moment
of power. It's just such a shame that the brain is just not ready.
Yeah.
No.
With the energy and with the situations that arise and with opportunities that are there, you're all ready to go. You're fresh. You've got the energy. You've got everything. You just ain't got the brain.
You haven't got the brain for it.
So that's where it all goes a little bit tits up, I think. Yeah. Like at that age, having success.
Was it a bit overwhelming for you guys? I mean, were you ambitious when you were young, when you were like coming into the industry? Were you...
Yeah.
Pinpointed on where you wanted to be.
Yeah. I always knew what I wanted to do, and literally, luckily, had no plan B. Didn't need one.
Where did you grow up, Shaz? Was it in London?
Islington.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, North London.
Islington.
Yeah.
We literally drove past. And we're like, we used to sign on there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then met together in stage school, or sort of around that circuit, or.
I didn't go to stage school.
Oh, good.
No.
It's one of us. No. I absolutely did.
Absolutely did.
And a share.
No, I went Sylvia Young.
Go Sylvia Young. So when you say absolutely did, I really wanted to go to stage school. I think for about 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I was
didn't tell me.
Yeah. I was like, that looks like where I should be. And then quite quickly realised I didn't think I could handle it. The kids that wanted to go to stage school got themselves there and they knew that's what they wanted to do. Were you like that?
I didn't even know really about stage school. I mean, I'd watched Fame on the telly when I was a kid, but I didn't really know that that was ever an option.
But
at the end of my primary school, when it was time to talk to the headmaster, see where to go next, they were just like, there's no point in trying to put her anywhere apart from stage school. And that's really where that journey started. Before that, I mean, I had a really amazing music teacher at my primary school, and he saw that I had a voice, singled me out. I had extra lessons with him.
When you were that little?
Yeah, it must have been about 8 or 9. So when I found my love for singing, that was it for me as well.
Because me and Mum were saying this today, we were like, I think people forget that Mel can sing.
Yeah, like, I think you forget that.
Yeah. You too, sometimes.
Yeah. You too.
I struggle with that.
I know.
Even though it was something that was found in you so early.
Well, the artists that I think are amazing. So if I'm not as good as that artist, then I can't big myself up.
What, like talking about Aretha?
Yes, guys.
None of us would ever.
Mariah,
you know. I can't sing. I don't sing like Prince. I can't sing.
But that's, you know, that is my
goal.
I'm just realistic.
Yeah, but that just means
the case for a lot of people.
Right. And I think maybe a few more artists should be like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're one in a trillion, billion.
I bet there were teenagers, though, that when you guys were massive and everywhere, that were like, shit, Melanie can sing. I could sing. I can sing like that. Like, you've probably done that to people. Like, you do remember how big you were, right?
In mediocre fashion. I could sing. She nearly is just as mediocre as her. Yeah.
Oh my God. No. No. But, Shaz, we wanted to talk about songwriting as well, because obviously Cameron's my uncle, and so I remember being around when you guys were all coming together to make the album. I remember he was saying that he was so into it because you guys were so involved, and it was not at all a sort of songwriting dictatorship. That was a very big part of what you guys wanted to do.
We were already doing it before we signed, so
I think that people really underestimate you guys in that. I think they assume that, like, say, you know, other girl groups, they assume that, they underestimate your musicality. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I can see that. I get why. I think the fusion and the time as well, the came out with all the other kind of bands that were out at that time. You know, coming under the umbrella of being a girl group, it automatically seems to only license you to having certain capabilities. So,
is that about how you look?
Yeah.
And
which
not necessarily
used to really
about
annoy me, if I'm honest, because everything on the tick list that was the most important was the least important to me. And I think that's probably made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I felt comfortable with it.
That was not why I was there. We found ourselves in that setup that world, that situation.
Also, kind of quite quickly, once it happened, was it like zoop?
Yeah, it was. But then the road to there the was long.
How old were you when you met then?
We were, so what?
Maybe we must be 18.
18. Yeah. Right.
Where?
On All Saints Road.
On All Saints
Road. No! Come on now. In my end. Yes, hence the name.
Yeah.
Oh! Duh. I have never known that. Come on, it's hysterical. Is that why? Yeah. Okay. Okay, then.
You really never know that.
No.
That's like,
very
serious.
Funny.
Makes so much sense, and what a great name for a van.
We hated the name.
Oh, right.
Did you? We did. We did.
We did everything that we could to like, change it.
Yeah,
adding that numbers at the end.
All Saints 101.
1975.
Why 1975?
That was the year we were born.
Yeah, right. Oh, All Saints 975.
Because at the time it was like SWVTOC 702. Da, 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 right. Like that, right? 1975.
It needs a number. It needs a number.
The first video we ever did, I think I might still have it somewhere.
Oh, God.
We borrowed. So, because where we met and became a band was Ron Tom's studio.
I knew Ron Tom was involved. I knew it.
Yeah.
And his crew was like Omar, Donnie.
Yes, of course. Donnie was living in my house.
Yeah, Donnie. No,
really? Donnie lived at my house.
Wow. So then, so when we did one of our first videos, we borrowed Donnie and Danny John Jules.
Oh my God.
Their Jeeps. They had the Vitara Jeeps at the time.
Oh my God, right.
And we had a fake number plate put on with AS117. And I have that number plate.
Move the number plate.
To make the cars look like they were bouncing, people were like jumping. Oh, it was those years.
Oh, yes, mid 90s.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you met, did you like each other straight away?
Yeah, we did. I mean, when we first met, we were working on our own stuff individually.
Mm.
And Ron's plan was to go to there was a label just around the corner, ZTT. So his plan was to go and get individual deals and then came back saying that they suggested we sort of think about...
Chuck us in a band.
Chuck us in doing it together.
We're like, we decided against that.
So yeah, it was a no-brainer. We were like all over each other's demos and stuff.
Yeah. But this also meant finding two other people.
Well, no, not them.
No,
we had
at that point. Oh. So there was somebody else originally. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was an amazing vocalist. Right. She's passed away now.
Oh.
But I think, in all honesty, she was more of a solo artist,
right?
And was not comfortable being in the setup. Her thing was, you know, she wanted to be a solo singer.
The music industry back then was a funny country, a funny universe for a young woman. I mean, there's so much, like, we were talking to Annie Mack recently, you know, and she was just talking about some of the uncomfortable situations that she's been in and other people that she knows. Was it for you a tricky place?
I've got to say no. I mean, if I look back, if my daughter, I mean, the way I met Ron, I was out with my friend in town and we were at a party and Ben was DJing.
BP.
Yeah. And my friend, who was quite ballsy, she went up to him and she's like, yeah, my friend's a singer. And she writes her own music, da-di-da-di-da. So then Ben told Ron. At the end of the night, they invited two of us back to Ladbroke Grove, back to the studio, Metamorphosis. And we went down there and, you know, I didn't even know them. We went down there and Ron was just like throwing on records and was like, right, sing over this, sing over that, do this, do that.
Fun.
Just doing it. Yeah. And that was my introduction to Ron and meeting Mel. But if I look back and I think, God, if my daughter
met some guys in a club
that told her to go all the way back to another area to start. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's really great that you don't feel like it was a treacherous place, because so many women, like, or people that I talk to lately, have been talking about how difficult it was for them, and I've really been thinking about it, thinking, well, some of it, but you know, some of it was fun.
Yeah,
but
there's reasons why we got signed at that specific time and that we became successful. It's because we were good looking.
Yeah,
there was the Spice Girls around, so they were looking for, like, you know, competition with them. It wasn't actually based on what we were actually had going for us.
It wasn't who were the gifted women. Yeah. Let's do this. Yeah,
at all. Which kind of goes back to what you were asking earlier, I suppose.
Yeah,
in hindsight, I'm sure there were so many things. I mean, there was one instance with Top of the Pops that we always talk about.
Oh, that was probably the one uncomfortable moment. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But we didn't even look at that like, oh, it's demeaning or it's sexist or it's no. We were just like, we were uncomfortable.
Yeah, we were uncomfortable and we knew we didn't want to do it.
No, yeah.
What did they ask you to do?
So we were, what song were we performing? Was it Never Ever? We've spoken about this so many times.
Okay, so this is early.
This is at the beginning, but we had a little taste of success, but
and
like, little.
So they wanted to pre-film some stuff to put on the screen behind us whilst we were singing, but what they wanted was they wanted to film us looking as though we had no clothes on. It's only like headshot, I suppose.
Yeah, so filmed like shoulders.
And we just didn't want to do that. We were like, I don't want people to, I don't want to suggest that I've got no clothes on.
And what was the reaction to you guys saying
that? It just wasn't great. And I was like, if you girls don't do it, you won't be coming back on.
No,
we did it.
We did it.
Through gritted teeth.
So it was like, if you don't do it, you'll never come on Top of the Pops for a game.
No, but is that funny? Because it's like, because then actually it was something to be done under duress. It's like, we said no.
Yeah.
If that was my child, I'd be properly pissed off.
Well, the thing is, back then, and actually, I suppose the one thing you only learn later on is that in any part of the industry, it's a real problem to say no. Like, it's a problem to say no. And actually, what you learn later in life is, no, actually, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But you do have to learn it.
You have to learn it.
Because you have to learn how to mean it unequivocally.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. And deal with
I don't care. I don't care what the consequences are. This is a line in the sand for me. And I'm not doing it, whatever it may be.
Yeah. When did you start feeling comfortable to say that? Because I know for me, it's only been the last, like, 3 years.
I think I get more and more comfortable with it.
Well, I can't even imagine you ever doing anything that you don't want to do for a start.
I definitely have been in positions where, not like sexually, I don't think.
More like just shit scripts.
No, but I just go, I'm not saying that. That's rubbish.
Me too.
And I'm not saying it. Now let me rewrite it for you and I'll just rewrite it.
Yeah.
But then I think I would be worried about suggesting change in case they thought that I was being a troublemaker.
Yeah. You know, reputation.
Yeah.
Well, that's
we have a reputation. But there's so much more. There's layers to that, because there's a lot that the why we will feel like that, right?
Mm. Yes. Because the assumption, like, you know, troublesome black woman
and
stuff, all of that.
You're trying not to ever come across
in that way, which is awful and exhausting. The foot that you come out the door with is having to prove you're not something that other people are going to assume about you before you can even just be yourself. Yeah. That's tiring.
Yeah.
That's why people say it's exhausting being a black woman and a woman, and just in general.
Yeah.
The exhaustion is what stops, I think, people from fighting. At that time, did you feel that you did have more control of what you wanted to put out, the way you wanted to be perceived, all those things? Was there a time in All Saints where you really felt like, God, we're not only killing it, but we're making all the decisions?
Probably in the beginning, maybe. Right. And then after that,
before we were signed.
Maybe we were just friends.
Yeah.
When we were just chilling in All Saints, when we felt quite free.
Yeah. But, you know, that kind of disappears very quickly and it all becomes... That's why I can't actually remember a lot of it, because it It's too much.
Mm. Right.
It's a lot.
Overload.
Overload. And then you kind of just go into survival mode. And mm-hmm. I suppose some of my survival mode was just to forget. Like, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Was so
this
much
touring
of it.
And press tours and promo.
And yeah, off. All of it. Mm. So, yeah, I think we probably lost control very early on. Very
well,
early
the
on.
The thing is, that's a hard pill to swallow as well. We've talked about it quite a lot, is that, I mean, I'll speak for myself because
sure.
I know we have slightly differing things about it.
Mm.
But, like, what I saw the band being originally...
Mm.
But it was me, Shaz. For me, I just wanted to be... Well, first of all, I wanted to be famous in Leopard Grove, and I was happy with that.
Yeah, so
just famous in Grove.
Famous in
Grove. I wanted to be able to walk it. All right, Mel. So that was my, you know...
That was the goal.
That was the goal. And also, you know, I wanted to be like the bands that we were listening to. I wanted to be like Mary J. Blige. I wanted to be like SWV. Yeah. I wanted to be... That's the sound we were making, because with Shaz's writing and the fact that we were both Londoners, it became our own style anyway.
It really did. Mm.
That's what I saw as success.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we finally got signed, because we got signed, drop a million times over before we got signed to London Records. And then when they came along, they're the ones that put us with Cameron McVeigh, Nelly Hooper. And I was like, ugh. What? Who are these people? I hate it. I hate all of them. No, fuck off. I didn't want to know. Madonna. Madonna. Like, why are you not Mary J. Blige? You know, that's
yes.
why. So they knew.
That is so interesting.
That in order for us to do that whole mass appeal, stay relevant and cool within certain things, but also be a girl, but they were actually clever in what they did by making
it. It was a very clever pairing.
Now, the success, when we became truly successful, it's not what I had. We had to compromise on slightly on the music a
little
bit.
Like the William Orbity time.
Yeah. Right. So those for me were difficult periods.
Pure Shores is such a tune.
So we started in the same place.
We did. And then you became very much more open minded and
gentle. Me. When they put us with your Camerons and your Williams and Nellies, as a writer, I really enjoyed that.
Right.
I suddenly thought, oh, right. Instead of my sort of learning journey being like this, it became more
broader
and I'm really thankful for that. Not because of success even or anything,
no, but
like
musically
that, just musically.
I saw you and your mum on Race Across the World.
Oh,
and I was triggered to the depths of my soul.
So, because me and Makita, we did another show. What was it called? Eight Go Rallying or something?
Yes, ours was called Road to Saigon.
Road to Saigon.
5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And we were in a car together for like 17 hours a day. I didn't pass my test, so my mum had to do all the driving.
All the driving. We drove across Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, extraordinary.
That's
but
amazing.
It was hell in this car. With no air conditioning, and you're trying to... Well, I literally couldn't watch it. I loved it, but I was like, this is taking me back.
But also...
But the difference is, now,
this is it. You're going to hate this.
On our road trip, because it's for millionaires, this rally, every stop, the hotel gets posher and posher
and fancier and fancier.
Oh, so by the time we got to Saigon, we were like...
We were like,
unbelievable.
We kept going, what a displace. And we turn up at the next one, it was like, whoa!
Yeah.
You know how Asia does sense. Hospitality?
I like that concept.
Yes, but
you haven't done that one.
Yeah,
you haven't
done that one. Because they wanted us to do this one, and I was like,
no.
Nah.
And you said,
nah.
Because I was like, this is sweet. This is nice. And then by the time you're sleeping on the floor of your mum's mate in France, I was like, I couldn't have done this. We couldn't have done this.
I don't know how you managed
it. So proud
it.
Of you.
Well done.
You killed it.
Well, I went into a deep depression afterwards. We done it. Literally.
Did
I just talked
really?
To a psychiatrist.
How to get myself back into reality. This is not my life now.
Yeah, but
you're not on the floor anymore.
But tell them what you did the next day. I mean, you were tired when you got back, but remember what you did? You were like, I don't care.
Oh, my God.
First thing the next morning, I'm going.
So I arrived. And our flight was delayed coming back
on.
From Norway.
Correct.
We were stuck in like a passport line for 2 hours.
No. Genuinely just
hell
crossed the world.
Coming home. Then I was like, nah, fuck it. I'm going to Egypt tomorrow. So literally, I went from that straight to like...
Lugs it up. Mel, that's insane.
Luxury pyramid.
Yeah, luxury pyramid. There was no floor sleeping.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how you did that. Because those days, when I was driving like 12 hours a day, and it was a 1953 Morris Minor.
Wow.
Remember my feet, Makita?
No, it was weird. She became deformed.
Literally, my ankles swelled up like I had elephantitis. And they were looking at me like... like, you know, because I got batty and all the rest. And they were like, you're right. And I was like, my legs are sore. And they're looking at me like, meh. And I'm like, no. How dare you? You know, I have very slender ankles. Thank you very fucking so much. Right? And I was like, this isn't just like how I be. This is not how my ankles are. I couldn't even get my shoes on.
Oh my God.
I had to wear these like weird Velcro sandals.
Oh, God. Wow.
But I have to say, it was a real moment for our relationship, which has continued to keep. It was. It turned it into. Yeah.
It was really good because we realised, A, there were people watching us. But also, if we were going to survive it, we were going to have to learn to listen to each other.
Yeah, okay.
I've heard you say that really on the show,
and that again went right. I was like, I remember that.
Well, the thing is, our mums are quite similar as far as you know, they take control kind of ladies.
Your mum's cool. Is what you mean?
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. Beautiful.
And amazing.
Yeah. But you know, pretty much every woman that I'm friends with or related to is quite strong.
Yeah.
So whenever you're put with more than one of those, you've got to quickly decipher how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all make decisions in our lives. We all do that. Whether it was the four of us, it's always a bit of a like, oof, when we're suddenly all together, it's like, who actually knows best?
Yeah. I think we did well with that, though, you and I.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, we're really good.
But
you found out your rhythm early.
Yeah, we did actually.
We're really good. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of respect there as well. And I think that goes a long way. But with the mums and the daughters. No. No, all the respect, but at the same time, it was, you know what, the hardest bit was, because the travelling, okay, it wasn't easy or nice, but I was aware that was going to happen. So
I loved you getting cabs all the time, basically.
No, I saw that edited it, guys.
That made me laugh so much. You were like, £200 taxi done. You were like, I just like it, okay, leave me alone.
Can you imagine some of the journeys? Hitchhiking there.
Hang on a minute, I hitchhiked.
You did
nine,
so good.
I was going 9 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 18 hours.
I'm like, I'm getting a cab.
Buses, mum.
Salami Express. Why does every coach smell like salami? I don't know.
Everyone across the world.
Salami Express across the
world. How long were you away? How long was it?
So a month with no phone, no card, and basically no control over your life.
Yeah, that was the hardest.
Thank God I didn't go, because
I would have come home on the same
day. Yeah.
I would have quit.
Done.
But I keep saying to her, no, but once you go into it, we're going to do it. Nice.
So, but how do you feel now? Not only has my relationship with my mum forever changed from that trip, but also for me, it just opened me up into a kind of like brave, just get on with things and see what they can give to your life kind of headspace.
I think what I got from my relationship with my mum was how, every time I talk about it, I just start crying, but how precious time is with your parent. Yeah. That's it. And also because it was a strange environment for her, with cameras, with people telling her what to do, which she didn't like. Seeing her in a more vulnerable and weak position was hard for me to see.
Yeah.
And
her feeling a little like nervous with things and stuff.
Yes, quite. And like that was really, it stressed me out actually, because I didn't know this person. I don't know who that mum is.
Right.
Yeah. Because she's a very strong woman.
Yeah. I sort of had to take the reins a little bit, and
it makes you think about the future.
It definitely does make you think about the future. Yeah. But saying that, she's still really annoying, and so it's very hard to get that balance right. Of I know I need to spend quality time with her. Do I have to spend all that time? And I know I'm going to regret it afterwards.
But you know what? I loved seeing her strength come out in a place where she's not naturally comfortable. When she, I can't remember where you were, but she just, finding her mate's house in the middle of the night.
Finds her
exact house, but also is just very forthright and very like, we will find it. We will get there.
But that's mum. That's her.
So that was when she came back to herself.
It's so funny the way they edited that as well. My poor mum's friend. Looks like we don't even know. She's like this. She's like,
she knew you were coming, right?
No!
She didn't know you were coming.
No!
That's why she looked like that then.
Yeah. So she was like, oh, hi.
Surprise.
Oh, my God.
Well, the behind the scenes, we had to make sure that somebody's phoned somebody just to make sure she was in. But she didn't know what was happening.
Oh, imagine. I mean, that would have
freaked me out. I know, I did think
that. I'm tidied up.
Imagine.
And then that would
be no, she was in shock.
Cameras.
Camera crew. That night, we'd only been doing the show for about 10 days or whatever. Also, mum didn't tell me it was just a studio flat with like a mezzanine.
Oh my
was like, Mom, and because I always have to be a member of the crew with you, I had to sleep with my producer guy in a sofa bed on the floor. Whoa. After 10 days of knowing each other.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just a hard no for me. I would be like,
by then we were sort of at the Four Seasons in Saigon.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a reward every step of the way for you guys.
Yeah.
That concept makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
Thinking about
keeps
it.
Keeps you going.
It's like, what was, there was no reward.
No reward. No. More hell around the corner.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, like, really, seriously, well done for keeping on going, because I really don't think I could have managed that.
The travel was all right. It was the cameras that were annoying.
You're great on TV, though. You're actually really good on camera.
Yeah. Thanks,
yeah. You were really open, and you talked about your confidence, and you know, struggling with that. And I think people will find that surprising. People who don't know you, I think, probably assume you're more confident and more self-assured.
Maybe it's that Willy emoji she keeps sending around.
Oh my God, it's just Mum that keeps sending me.
It's my favorite.
That penis thing.
It means so much, though. There's so much in life.
It's like a swinging, if you're listening, it's a swinging Willy thing. That if you text Mel and she's happy, she sends you this big swinging Willy. I'm like, can you stop sending me that thing?
Never.
Is family really important to you, Shaz?
Yeah, family is important to me.
I guess what I mean by that is, like, are you close to your blood family growing up?
My mother is my everything. We've just always been together. Like, you know, when I moved my mum, and she's around the corner from me. She's 81. Right. She'll be 82 in December.
Oh. Wow.
And she's...
Shout out to Del.
And... my strongest bond within my family, I'm very honoured to my parents. So my dad's passed away, but I'm probably a very honourable daughter, you know, in that sense, to my parents. And I feel like I would do anything for them. I have one sister, but I have a lot of cousins.
Oh, yeah.
So I suppose the family, that we were great. And, like, you know, we get together at family whatevers, and we just, it's all about laughs and jokes and cracks and all that kind of stuff. But my bond is my mum.
Really strong.
It's my mum, yeah, it's my mum. She's the matriarch of the family. She's you know, she came here in the 60s with her brother, so she's the
Where
last
is she
one
from?
There. Jamaica.
She's Jamaican.
Yeah.
Where's your dad Jamaican as well?
No, from Barbados.
Oh, Bajan. Yeah. We spent amazing time in Barbados.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbados is an interesting place, because on the surface, it's, you know, they call it Little England and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And but, you know, you get underneath that, and like real Bajan culture. For a start, they're just on the party all the time. It's like either getting ready for crop over or getting over. Right. Or they're having
Liming in between.
But there's a kind of camaraderie in Barbados. It's really interesting to me, because we're from Antigua.
I see.
So it's a small island knit closeness that I think is different if you're, you know, Jamaican or from somewhere bigger. Do you know what I mean?
It's a different feeling for me for Jamaica. Yeah. If I go to Jamaica, it feels like home.
Oh.
That's
right.
Just home.
And more than Barbados.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you take the kids?
My son is he was a baby, so we need to go again. We're trying to go next year.
Yeah, it was big going as a grown up, because I've been to Antigua a bit when I was a kid, but and then we were very lucky.
I hated it.
Yeah, I was
really?
Like,
as a kid,
she was bored of the beach.
Yeah,
I don't really like the beach.
It was like going on holiday with Gloria Swanson. It was a nightmare.
I just think the beach is a little dull.
She literally had a hair in a towel. She had a hair in a towel in a dressing gown thing. Going, oh my god!
Such a little brat.
I was like, oh my god, who is this kid?
My poor mum and Antigua
together. I took her as a surprise for her 13th birthday, and all she did was moan. You know how your kids like? You think you're doing some lovely thing, and they're like this. Your shit. I hate you.
I'm more than made up for it on our bloody journey through our heritage.
You smash you, Peter.
Come on. But we found out we were Nigerian. We didn't know.
Amazing.
Oh, we did our...
Same.
So what was your makeup?
So I did 23andMe.
Yeah, I think it was the same.
So my makeup is a mix of Nigerian, Ghanaian, Sierra Leone, Native American, English...
God. Yeah, Scottish.
I mean, thing is,
Welsh.
I did two. I did the first one. I did the English didn't come up and I was bragging about it. I was
Nothing happened, and then Surrey popped its head up, and then it changed.
And they suddenly, I got like a notification that they had done some more studies, and they gave me an update, and it had changed. And I suddenly saw English. I was like, And I got one for myself. I got one for my mum. 23 is great because it shows you. Just by me getting my mother to do it, it was able to tell me who I was related to via my mum and via my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So,
really specific. Sorry.
Specific. And really specific. Some people, when they, if they, you know, the more information you log, obviously, the better. So, people that had same surnames, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm obsessed with
it. I got really emotional. So we were like Nigerian, Benin, Togo, that whole coast, basically, of Africa. And then they flipped around and they showed us where all the ships had gone.
Oh, wow.
And it felt really, for the first time, obviously, intellectually, I've understood the connection.
Yes.
When I saw it, and I saw the breakdown of what makes me me and what makes her her on paper in front of me. And then they showed us the maps. I like deep. It was deep.
It was deep because we went and I thought, God, I'm going to come back so Antiguan. And then I was like, I'm not even fucking, of course I'm not Antiguan.
Black people are not actually Caribbean, which is a trip.
No, just we're where visitors.
They took us. Where our visitors, they took us there. It's a trip. Like, all of that stuff. And it sort of resonates in you.
Yeah.
What about you,
Go on, Mel. Well, this is the funny story about my 23andMe story. So I haven't done it, but my parents did it. So all my life, obviously my mum, to know her, she's got really curly hair.
Yeah.
Mm. She's got lips. She's got nose. Yeah, like, my whole family, maybe my dad, she's got lips. I've got nose. But my mum...
She's got lips.
But my mum has always been like, her family are from Brittany in the west of France. And just near the village where she grew up, there was an island off the side called Belle Isle, called Beautiful Island. And she said, everyone from around the world would come and stop at this island.
Oh, right.
And
right.
swap their wares.
Oh, all of their wares.
And then go back off. So whatever came from over there, that's what I am. I'm like, okay,
wait, mom. From where, though?
Everywhere. Anywhere.
Wherever is above and to that side. All right. So basically, mum was trying to say that we are everything from every country.
Wow. You do look a bit everything, to be fair.
It is a bit of a mother.
You're a bit everything-y.
And so my dad's come back. Massive Jew, like 9% Jew, blah, blah, blah. You are Jewish. I was like, okay. I learned something from the Amazon as well, which was quite cute. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mum, and it came out, and when they opened it, there's music that plays. Anyway, mum opens hers, was. She was so British. Like, Irish, Welsh, Scottish, no African, no Arabic, no nothing. Like, nothing. She was like that. She's like, that.
No,
so angry.
Of course. When did she get the nose and the lips then?
We will never know. Well, but I mean, we definitely don't look like
British people. No, you really don't. So this is a very interesting thought, right? Yeah. Because the idea that British people are completely Caucasian or completely, you know, Anglo-Saxon or Britons, old Britons, is a nonsense.
Yeah.
Because obviously there were the Romans, there were the Africans before that. There's been this extraordinary history here. So it was probably the black in you from, you know, Stansted.
Yeah. You know that tribe from Stansted?
You remember that? Stansted, Stansted lips.
Where's your tribe from?
Stansted lips.
But identity is important, right? How you feel. Because we went to the Caribbean thinking about identity, thinking about what it means and all the rest of it. But I didn't expect to have this seismic shift in my gut about it. It was so emotional.
I'd love to do that. And also, mum and Nana, because Nana is Sierra Leonean
and Swedish.
And Swedish. When they were in Rip Rick and Panic in the 80s, they were very much like doing a lot of African tribal dance and wearing a lot of African clothing.
No, okay.
I mean, their version.
I need to qualify this.
What's interesting is, as a dark black woman at that time, my mum would be close to that, but never say, oh, I wonder where I'm from in Africa.
Yeah. If you're from a diaspora, you connect to like where your parents are from, your grandparents are from, and then there's just a sort of chasm, and you don't really think about it, and nobody really talks about it, and you go back a couple of generations, and then you sort of stop. That's where the conversation is. The conversation actually starts from when they left.
Yes.
So me and Nana used to. So we went through a thing when we first met, and she'd just got back from Sierra Leone, and she hadn't been there it was the first time she'd been there. She was 16 and I was 17 or something. So our way of connecting to Sierra Leone was that we used to wear these big gowns and these big head ties and walk really slowly.
Hearing that, it's giving me, going back to All Saints in the early 90s and us being together, that when I'm sure when you and Nina were walking down the street and you were doing whatever you were doing and in your mind you were doing, there was a certain gang mentality strength that came with that, which gives you a pair of balls, which gives you all that. And I had that.
Yeah.
With the girls.
Did you?
Definitely.
But that is the tribal thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is a tribal
thing. Yeah, we belong to each other. We belong to each other.
Yeah, yeah,
we would tuck those gowns into our knickers, take our shoes off and dance our asses off and wipe the floor with any motherfucker that came near.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so we had our own power.
Yeah.
And we harnessed that power. And I mean, it's hysterical when I look back at it. I'm like, oh my God, how did anybody part with our shit? I can't even believe how embarrassing it is. Bless us. We were so sweet. We were just trying to find our power and find out where we belong. You know, because you just want to know where you should be at.
You feel like you know where you belong more so now than did then.
I really do, and that's wherever I am, whether it's in a boardroom or whether it's here or whether it's on a holiday, wherever it is, I am home and I belong. And that's where the power comes, lies. But it's like a gentle, peaceful feeling. It's not what I used to think, because people would always say, oh, you're really powerful, and I think, what are you fucking talking about?
You think powerful, like power,
some kind of fighting, but actually it's more of a surrender, especially because I've got this far already, which frankly was just quite surprising
at talking. So
wow, well done bitch.
that was a lot
You know,
do you guys feel powerful these days in your lives?
I'd say the most powerful I've ever felt.
Yeah,
just from knowing a lot, living through a lot. I think that gives me power, and not caring so much. The less I care, the better I feel about myself, for sure.
The less you care about the things that used to really bother you, the more you can actually look at the things you that are really important to you.
Yes, definitely. I don't want to let myself down anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel, because I like myself more. So I want to do more for me, because I'm having quite a love affair with myself.
It's
going really well. I really like her.
She's all right, isn't she?
And that's so good that you're here already at this age.
Yes.
Waiting for another 10 years. You're going to feel so cool.
Yeah, oh my
right?
God,
yeah.
The hardship. I was always so scared of the hardship. It gets you somewhere so different.
Yeah.
And as Auntie Nana says, can't go under, can't go over, go through, and then you're somewhere.
You will always get to the other bit.
Yeah.
Whatever intention or whatever, you will get through it, and you will get to the other bit, and you will carry on, and the next shit will come.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll get through that as well.
There will be another boot. It will drop, and you'll survive that as well.
It's how you handle it.
Yeah.
As you say, hold your nerve.
Hold your nerve.
It's hard. It's hard to do.
Let's have a little chat.
Can I have some more drinks, please?
Yes. I said, we have to make more, because I know someone's going to go, oh, can I have some more? And I'll have to make it.
She started going 200 mils of vodka. I was like, who are you making this job? 200 mils?
Mum was like, just pour the fucking bottle.
Get on with it.
Thank you, guys.
It's a real pleasure.
Yeah. Jazz does not go out, guys. This is a big deal.
Yeah. Also, you didn't know there was going to be food, so I'm really touched.
I thought we were going out and eat from here. I was like, what are you doing? So, thanks.
Cheers. I love you.
I love you guys.
Yes, sister.
Thank you for dinner.
Here's to the next bit.
So who wants to say it first? Should I go first?
You go first.
I love Chazelle.
Isn't she fabulous? She's not like jump in your face. She takes a second. She's slightly reticent.
Sort of respect
and
that.
And then she warms right up into it. And she's like, it's like watching a flower bloom.
Yeah, she's warm as anything.
She's really great. She's smart, interesting. People, interestingly, used to refer to them as the girls.
Yes.
So everybody talked about them like they were these teenagers.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
21 is young, Mum.
It is young, but they'd also been writing music for a while. They'd had a proper, you know, Shaz, and it was like, she was laser focused. She didn't have a plan B. She was going to do music and she was going to be successful. I know Mel was really like on the same kind of path.
Yeah.
They were doing what they were going to do. Mm. And it was really that simple.
And that's sort of sometimes been taken out of their story.
I think so. And I think it was really interesting to hear that Shaz really found it frustrating that she wrote that shit. You know what I mean?
You can tell me to my face. You can tell me. Because I remember saying to Uncle Cam, that bit, and he went, that's Shaz.
That's Shaz, yeah.
And I was like, well,
it's like absolutely
motherfucker weird. Knows a hook.
Yeah.
First, I just want to talk about their deep, deep friendship.
Aww.
I know from doing something strange with someone, like being in a pop band or being on a TV show, that you go through so much together that there's just a bond no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But they are such sistren and like so devoted soul women, sisters for life.
Sistren them,
and
like,
it just,
lovely.
You feel it. And I, do you know what? Because we know Mel so well in a way that we don't know Shaz, it was, I was just like, I love that Mel has this kind of love in her life from a friendship like this.
And I like that they've been round and round and round. They've had the ups, they've had the downs, they've had the ups.
I mean, look at what a life, the things they've experienced together.
Yeah.
I just love that. And I think it's been really interesting, as I was saying about me and Lily being at the end of our 30s and then seeing their generation and then your generation. Yeah. The way female friendships just like hold you through these years. This is what it's about.
Yeah.
I really think that maybe the women in our lives are our soulmates.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, well, you know, I always said that Nana is like one of the biggest love affairs I ever had.
Yes, I love
her. You know what I mean? If you're lucky enough to find your sister in them.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about your drink, Makita Oliver.
Well, everyone's pissed. I think I did a good job. So I did my work.
Clever.
If this was an All Saints friendship, this would be it. It's kind of like full of juice.
Full of juice.
Hearty.
Full of colour.
Full of colour.
Full of life.
Full of life.
All right then, cheers to that.
So it's deeper than the Met Bar, actually.
Thank you very much.
I thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.